What a joyous day to be in the house of the Lord. We want to welcome our preschool family and friends with us here this morning. We're so glad you're able to join us here on a Sunday morning and hear our little ones sing in just a little while. We're so excited for that opportunity. We just want to share a few announcements with you. If you look on the back of where your children's names are listed, and everyone else in the congregation can look there as well, we are having Sun Spark Labs. It sounds a little bit like chemistry to me, and that's going to be our vacation Bible school theme from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. July 20th to 24th. So if you want to get your iPhones out or your calendars and mark those dates, that would be awesome. We'd love to see all of you here for our vacation Bible school, and bring your friends. We do want to make mention during the week we have Bible study on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. It's called The Feeding Trough, and that's held at the cafe in Bethel, right there at the square, the gathering place. So we'd love to have you join us for Bible study on Thursday nights. We do want to make note of Love Feast, which is a brethren ordinance. We do communion and we have feet washing and we share a meal together, which will be next Sunday, May 3rd, starting at 6 p.m., and we'll gather in the fellowship hall. So next Sunday, we'll have our Love Feast to celebrate together, and that is at 6 p.m., gathering in the fellowship hall. We always encourage you to look in your bulletin. It has lots and lots and lots of information of what's happening here at Little Sortora. Again, welcome this morning. We are so glad you are here. If you want to join me on the back of your bulletin for our call to worship, we'll begin this day with the Lord as we worship Him this morning. It'll also be projected on the screen. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here at Little Sortora to worship your most holy name. Father, I pray that you would meet each of us exactly where we are this day and that you would allow us to strive toward being more like your son, Jesus. Hear our worship this morning. May it be pleasing to your ears. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand this morning for our time to celebrate with number 395, Here I Am, Lord.
Thank you.
You may be seated. There'll be a microphone coming around. This is our time to share in joys and concerns. In the bulletin, you'll see a list of prayer concerns, and we encourage you to pray for those individuals as we go throughout our weeks. And we just want to mention the flowers on the worship center today are in memory of Dan Myers, and we celebrate with him that he's in life eternal and all those that have gone on before us. And we just mentioned it's Lois and Gerhardt's 50th wedding anniversary. This Friday, May 1st, I believe, is May 1st. So we want to celebrate with them, as well as anniversaries are just continuing on and on. So we just thank God for 50 years. And we also celebrate everyone else's anniversary that may have one here today as well. So the mic will be passed around if anyone has any concerns or joys that you'd like to lift up this morning. Right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for gathering us here in this place. Lord, you know each of our hearts. You know the struggles that we endure on a daily basis. Father, you know the sicknesses, the diseases that we've been stricken with. And Father, we're praying to you this morning for comfort, for peace. Most of all, Lord, we're praying for your healing touch upon those suffering from various illnesses. Lord, we do recognize you as the master physician. We know that you healed many during your time as you walked as fully human and fully divine on this earth. So we just turn to you this morning and we lift up the many prayer concerns that are listed in our bulletin. We pray for each of them by name. We think of Connie and Chelsea and Cora and Curtis and Claire and the family of Luis Barrero and Les and Sandy and Catherine and Hershey and Sam. And we think of Denise and Janelle, and we think of Carol, and we just lift all those to you, Lord. We ask that you would enter into their situations, Lord, and allow them to feel your touch of comfort upon them. Lord, we pray for your strength and your encouragement to go through the times of recovering, and as we wait for test results, Lord, we pray that we would just be patient and allow you to be glorified, whatever our results may be. Lord, this morning we celebrate with the preschool. We know the hard work that these children put into their program today, and we are just praying a special blessing upon each of them. We're praying a blessing upon each of their families that are here today and their friends, Lord, and are just so thankful that they joined us here at Little Swatara. And we pray that they would know your love and feel your love through the singing and through the message here this day. And Lord, we just come to you. We know that we are at different places in our lives, and we just invite you to hear our prayers of confessions, those things that we may have done wrong this week, and just ask for your forgiveness during these next few moments of silent prayer. God, it's so good to be here in this place, to know that your presence is here with us. And your presence is not only in a church building, but your presence goes with us as we strive daily, each day, to live more like your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray this morning as we have a joyful sound being made by the preschool children that you would indeed be glorified. And we thank you for each one and bless them, Lord, and bless each one here today. And we thank you for all the memories that are being built. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Care for
All right, we want to invite brothers and sisters and any other children that are here this morning to come on down for the children's story. We have a special guest that's about to appear on the screen that I know you guys really like. So all the children and the friends and family can come down. Oh, you're good. You're good. They're gonna be looking at this screen. Yeah. All right, we're going to watch the screen here, and there's a very special guest. There's a screen in front of you there. Do you guys know where this is from? Frozen.
Kristoff.
Anna.
Best part, guys. Get ready for it.
Anna? Oh, Elsa. You sacrificed yourself for me? I love you.
Awesome. Give Frozen a round of applause. Woo! You guys did a great job listening, and you guys did a great job singing. Thank you so much for blessing us this morning. What did we just see in that scene? Someone was frozen. Who was frozen? Anna became frozen, but you saw Kristoff running as fast as he could, thinking that his true love's what? True love's kiss was going to save her, right? But what actually ended up happening? Who was able to melt her then? Elsa came into the picture. Now, Elsa and Anna were what? They were sisters. And somewhere along the line, Elsa kind of lost emotions, right? She wasn't able to really feel love anymore. And so here in this climaxing moment of Frozen, we see that Elsa was able to find true love again. Now, there's someone else who has true love for us. Do you know who that is? On the count of three, let's shout it as loud as we can so everyone on the way back there can hear you. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three. Jesus. Yes, very, very good. Jesus has a real love, a genuine love for each of us. Now, how can I stand here this morning and tell you that? If you look behind me, you see what's called a cross. Now, Jesus, many years ago, was attached to that cross. And you know what he did on that cross? He died for each of us. Not only died for each of us, but he was buried in the tomb and he came back to life. He wasn't frozen. Maybe it was cold, probably not. But He came back to life, was resurrected, and he defeated death, and he defeated the wrongdoings or the sins in our life. So that's what real love looks like. Now, do you think we should show love like that to other people? Should we show real love to others? If people aren't the same as us, if they're different and we really don't relate to them, should we show love to those people too? So even people that we really don't like, we should be showing love to as well. So our challenge as we go through this world is to try to keep ourselves from becoming frozen, from forgetting the love that we have to share because of what Jesus did on that cross. So we're going to pray, and I'm just thankful for each and every single one of you. Downstairs, when the service is over, those of you that aren't part of the preschool, downstairs there's popsicles. How appropriate. Frozen popsicles. And as you melt that popsicle in your mouth and you taste its fruity goodness, remind yourself that that is the love that pours out of you. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for each of these children. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from Frozen and this idea that we can love, we can feel love. And there's a real love that comes through you, Jesus, and we thank you for it. But we don't want to keep that love to ourselves. We want to share that love with others. So Lord, help us to show that love to even people we really don't like. And that's the greatest kind of love that we can share, because it's easy to love people that we're friends with. So Lord, help us to love everyone. And we pray your blessings upon each of these children here this morning, and ask that you would just go with them through life and allow them to show your love, and that they would receive your love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Okay. The brothers and sisters and the children from church, you can go back to your families. And the preschool children, you're going to remain here. The preschool children are going to remain here, and then they're going to take you downstairs. But don't forget after the services to come downstairs and get your popsicle if your parents allow you to. Okay. Applause as they're heading downstairs. They did a fantastic job this morning. We are so blessed. So make sure you listen to Miss Cindy. This morning, as we provide our offering to the Lord, may we just be cheerful givers and give in honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. We're so thankful that you have blessed us with so much in this life and you provide for us on a daily basis. We pray, Lord, we would use these offerings to be able to further your kingdom and use them for your benefit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I titled this journal entry, Under Fire. My new geography teacher was a pot-bellied man with skinny legs. With his white beard and thin hair combed over a balding head, he reminded me a bit of Santa Claus, until he began to teach. Mr. Tyler was an atheist. He made that abundantly clear. He talked like a New Ager, encouraging us to get good karma, as well as emphasizing his own extreme environmentalist, pro-choice, what's really wrong with assisted suicide views. His bitter words were like bullets, and I was being bombarded. By the end of the first class, my stomach was in knots. I was so upset, I almost felt nauseated. As I stumbled to my next class, I wondered how I would survive the semester. I prayed hard before the next geography class. God, please give me wisdom, I begged. Let me know if I should say anything. Things got worse. Mr. Tyler told crude jokes, encouraging the students to be immoral. Most of these people are non-Christians, I thought. They don't need more encouragement to sin. My stomach clenched and my blood boiled, but I didn't know what to say. When students raised their hands to ask questions, Mr. Tyler's sarcasm came through. Didn't you hear me the first time? You want me to spend the whole class time repeating myself? So I kept my mouth shut and prayed under my breath whenever I had the chance. It made me so frustrated. I couldn't very well argue with the teacher in class, and it wouldn't help to go to the principal since Mr. Tyler tied all of his outrageous views into his teaching. Geography has a lot to do with culture and religion. I just hated the parts that Mr. Tyler chose to teach. I kept praying and sitting through class with my mouth shut. I knew God had compassion for Mr. Tyler, but all I felt was anger. Finally, during one class, Mr. Tyler made an offhand comment about his mom, who had Alzheimer's. For a moment, his usually cold, piercing blue eyes glassed over, and I felt a sudden flicker of understanding. Mr. Tyler wasn't a true atheist. I believe he was actually furious with God, wondering how a loving God could allow his mom to suffer. After class, I gathered my courage and asked Mr. Tyler if he had ever gone to church. In his usually bitter manner, Mr. Tyler told me how his parents had dragged him to church every Sunday when he was young. Just a bunch of little do-gooders, he sneered. There comes a time when you have to face reality. He thought of Christians as unrealistic and hypocritical. I smiled, told him a bit about my background and why I was a Christian, and then told him I'd pray for him. Mr. Tyler laughed and made some crack about, yeah, a guy like me really needs some prayer. But I could tell he was touched. For the rest of the semester, I sat through geography class. As with all my classes, I committed to studying hard. Despite Mr. Tyler's off-the-wall comments, I showed interest in his teaching and spoke up when he asked the class questions. I didn't cheat, and I didn't fudge on assignments. Mr. Tyler thought Christians were hypocrites, but with me, he wouldn't have that excuse. When it came time for a group project, I chose a partner who was more known for his goofing off than his intelligence. Mr. Tyler raised his eyebrow and asked me more than once why I'd pair up with a loser like that. Well, he didn't use the exact word loser, but that's definitely what he meant. I just smiled and said we were doing fine. I'd make sure the guy did his part. By the end of the semester, my attitude toward Mr. Tyler had changed. Although I was still occasionally disgusted by his sarcastic comments and anti-Christian ideals, I felt mainly compassion. On the last day of class, I again told Mr. Tyler I was praying for him. I'd love to tell you that Mr. Tyler chose then and there to become a Christian, but he didn't. The verse, one sows and another reaps, John 4:37, is true in this case. With God's help, I had chosen to love Mr. Tyler. I had chosen to be respectful, to study hard, and to help my classmates whenever I could. I may not have seen a dramatic transformation in Mr. Tyler, but he couldn't scoff anymore that Christians were hypocrites with no integrity. I knew I had planted some good seeds. Now it was up to God to make them grow. Real love does matter.
There's an overarching statement that loving those that are similar to us is quite simple. On the contrary, loving those that differ, those that don't share the same opinions, the same values, becomes increasingly difficult. There's a saying that goes a little bit like this: actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. In our drama, a student faced a teacher that was differing in his views compared to hers. At first, she thought this was going to be the longest semester ever. But as time went on, she realized there was an open door to bridge their gap. At times, we close doors with others that are not like us before we get to know their stories. God may be on a back burner for them because of a particular event that happened in their life. But there's that flicker. And we all know when there's a flicker, there can become a flame. And when there's a flame, there can become a consuming fire. So this student recognized that this fire could reignite in this teacher's life if only she could meet him where he's at. And brothers and sisters, our challenge this morning is to be able to meet others that don't share similar views as us where they are at. The student knew she had to change her actions. She started partnering with those less likely students to be partnered with. And you know what? The teacher noticed. She began to participate in class and engage in conversations. It's the kind of action that's out of the ordinary that gets the most notice. You see, people expect certain behavioral patterns from a Christian, from a follower of Christ. When you take a step of faith and you do something extraordinary, God, we learn, receives the glory. You demonstrate a love that goes a long way in opening channels of conversation. Love doesn't have a set formula. It can be in surprising ways, but always in ways that see the needs of others. I would be willing to bet there's no one that sits here in this sanctuary that would say they are without need. We all have needs. Brothers and sisters of the faith and brothers and sisters in our community that don't share our faith. But this student got it. She knew what needed done. The church invite may have been only a seed. But as we plant seeds, as we meet people where they are, down the road, an incident may occur that a reason to walk through those doors becomes evident. I invite you this morning, in front of you, you'll find a Bible. And I invite you to turn to 1 John. It's towards the back of the Bible before Revelation. And I invite you to read with me from 1 John 3. And we'll be starting in verse 16 and going to the end. So pew Bibles are located in front of you. It may also be on the board as well. So as we read together, may we be convicted to love others, not only with words, but also with actions. Verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Let's pray. Father, we know that it's not always easy to love one another, especially when we have differences, especially when we don't see eye to eye or agree on every fine detail of our lives. But Lord, in these scriptures, you're calling us to a greater love, a love that is matchless compared to the cross where you gave your life. You're asking us as followers of Christ to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters when our faith calls us to do so. Lord, we pray you would be glorified, that you would allow our hearts to be in tune with yours, and that people would know us by our actions, they would know us by our love, and they would know you through us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, what I'm asking us to do is to be vulnerable, to be willing to love others that differ. There's not a certain code of dress or hairstyle. We don't need to earn a certain amount of money. We don't have to know all the Bible says. We don't need to know the hymns we sing. Jesus died for us while we were yet still sinners. This idea of getting our act together before we can come to Christ is bogus. Come as you are. As the Lord transforms your heart, you begin patterning yourself after him. This, in turn, increases our love for others. This opens our eyes to see the needs around us. It stirs us to love unexpectedly, to love sacrificially, to love in a real way as Jesus commands. The more we're exposed to church, we grow in our scripture knowledge, and we begin to know the familiar hymns. Our lives begin to change into Christ's likeness. And the story doesn't end there. We're not left to do this alone. We have the Spirit sent to us from God to guide us along the way as believers, to convict us when we stray. But this morning, we need to remind ourselves, we are not the judge. As a matter of fact, he didn't say, "Now, disciples of mine, go and judge the world." No, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples." And we look at the disciples and how they learned. It was by Jesus' example. It was by Jesus' teaching. And we too, as we love one another in action and in word, will bring disciples into the faith. And they too shall grow. They too shall know the ways of the Lord. But in the meantime, we come exactly as we are, and the Lord will love us in that place. As we grow closer to him, closer to one another, and begin to love in ways that only God can do through us. We need to get this right. We must get this right, or the world will continue to turn its back on the followers of Christ. We're not the judge. Only God is. Furthermore, we don't even convict. It's not our job to push our agendas on others, hoping they'll get the drift. The Holy Spirit will speak truth into the lives of those that need to hear what they need to hear. But this morning, and I pray you can hear this, it is our job. It is our job to show real love with actions and in truth. The test we see is the days that have gone by. Have we thought to ourselves or said to another person, "At least we're not as bad as they are," or "At least we don't talk like that"? Brothers and sisters, we're all alike. It doesn't matter the sin we find ourselves caught in. They're all the same in God's eyes. What matters is real love and real faith, showing compassion, showing humility and service, and showing generosity when we see a brother or sister in need. Our needs are behind the needs of others. If our faith causes us to lay down our lives, we do it for the sake of Jesus Christ. I can say, "I love you," until I'm blue in my face. Husbands, you may have told your wives that you love them, But if you go out every single night of the week and you pay little attention to them, you don't help with household chores, you don't do those kind of things your wife may ask of you, do you think those words, I love you, really have meaning? Fathers and mothers, when you tell your children that you love them, those words mean so much to them, and they treasure them. But how much more do we show our love to our children when we spend quality time with them? When we take time out of our busy schedules and demonstrate that love through playing ball in the backyard or playing a board game? You see, words do matter, but actions speak louder than words. There's a story that I want to close with. And it's about a group of missionaries that went to Haiti. And while they were in Haiti, they led a Bible study on this very exact verse we talked about this morning. Now, the one particular gentleman that came to this Bible study, he worked for a farmer that had cows. And those cows would be bred and have calves, and it was his job to feed those calves. And year after year after year, he would feed these calves with no pay. Meanwhile, back home, his family was starving. His family had no source of income. And the day came that one of those calves that he had fed for so long became a cow. And the farmer, as payment after all those years, gave that cow to this young man. One particular day, after this study in 1 John 3:16 to 24, the young man came to the Bible study. And the missionaries asked him, "How's your cow?" And his face turned downward. And the missionaries immediately thought, "Oh no, the cow has died. Something has happened to the cow. It's sick." But the young man, he looks at the missionaries and he said, "You remember the study we had the other day where it says if you see a brother in need, to show that you have the love of Christ in you, to help them, to give them what they need." And this young man had a brother and he was very ill. He needed to go to the hospital. And in order for that brother to go to the hospital, he needed some source of money. Now remember, this cow was this young man's lifeline for his family. This cow provided nourishment. This cow was able to be bred and provide income. But because of that particular verse, this young man sold his cow so that his brother could go to the hospital. Now when I first read that story, a very true story, I thought to myself, how could someone surrender all that they own? Their only source of income, their only source of nourishment, outside a few other things that would come in and help his brother in need. And the answer is very simplistic. We turn to that scripture, and we know that when we see a brother or sister in need, we are to give, we are to help them. And it'd be interesting to know how many of us here this morning would sell all they have to benefit another brother. I know for myself, I struggle with that idea. And there may be many of you here that are like, in a heartbeat, if it was my brother, I would gladly sell whatever I have to help him get to the hospital. But still, there may be others that think that's a difficult challenge. And this morning, we live in that tension. As we read scripture, as we literally ascribe to what God has told us, where do we find ourselves loving in action? I invite you this week to consider how well we're doing. How well are we loving in action? Is it simply words? Or are there activities among us that show Jesus' love to others? Let's go to him in prayer. Father, you continually bless us. You continually keep us in your loving arms. And there are days that go by that we just simply don't show that appreciation. We don't love others. And Father, we admit, we confess that we can be selfish. But Lord, because of how gracious and compassionate you were to us, we pray that we would lift others up, that we would help those in need, that we would be the hands and feet of your son Jesus. Father, guide us. We can't do this on our own. We need your Spirit to give us encouragement, to guide us and give us strength. Lord, on our own, we'd never be able to accomplish this. But Lord, there's a world waiting and watching for the followers of Christ to stand up, to make a difference, to love in the way that you have demonstrated to us. Father, help us to be those kind of followers. And we pray these things in the most incredible name of Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand for our final hymns this morning. Number 349, followed by number 341. This day and the remainder of the days that we live here on this earth, may we demonstrate God's love to others. May we show compassion. May we serve in humility. And may the God that we serve be made known. And it's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Go in peace.